We are up to Perek Tes Vav, Pasek Ches. Okay, we're up to Pasek Ches. Otzmuli Al Yinoisav. Yirmiyah says in the name of Kadosh Baruch Hu that it is mighty to me, your widows. Mechol Yamim, there are more widows in Klal Yisrael than there are sand, kernels of sand in the sea. That's quite a frightening expression. And there are different interpretations as to what time period we are referring to. Again, it's Perek Tes Vav. It's Perek Tes Vav Pasuk Ches. Perek Tes Vav Pasuk Ches. Otzmuli Al Menoisav. It is more numerous to me, Al Menoisav, the widows, the Klal Yisrael Mechol Yamim. Heves Yilohem. Now, and Hashem says, what is this a consequence of? Or not necessarily does the second part of the pasuk flow from the first part of the pasuk, but the pasuk anyway says, I brought upon them Al Aim. I brought Lohem Al Aim. Aim here means upon the nation. Aim means the mother, and Aim also comes from Aim is Uma, a nation. I brought upon them a Bachor Shodeid, a young thug. A Bachor means a young man who is in his full strength. You can't compare the situation when a 90-year-old man robs you to when an 18-year-old boy robs someone. So dealing with a Bachor, young man, Shoydeid, who is a plunderer, a villain, Bat Soharayim, in midday, he palti alecha pisayim, I brought upon them suddenly ear, an entire city, meaning ear means an entire army, an entire country is coming to descend upon Yerushalayim to destroy it, Uve Holois, and the turmoil, the mahala, the confusion that accompanies the enemy that descends upon Klal Yisrael. Obviously, this pasuk needs a lot more explanation, so let's go take a look at the Mitzudos David. Pasuk Ches Otzmuli Ho Almonoi Shebohem Hema Merubos Beina Yosem Echol Yamim. Hashem says that the widows that are found in Klal Yisrael are more numerous than the sand of the sea, the kernels of sand in the sea. Ritzono Leimar Ein Ani Yosem Bohem Ke Me. What is that word over there? Ein Ani Yosem Bohem Ke Misnakeim Li Yosem Kol Nechshav Lefonai Lemaat. I'm not going to take revenge. I'm not going to do to them an act of revenge that will appear to be something that is very small and significant. He adaraba. Nechshav lefonai laharbei. What I'm going to do is, what's going to happen among them is, Hashem says, not going to be insignificant. In my eyes, it's going to be considered the imbiz that simcha lefonai, I have no joy. From the mitzvahs of the period you're trying to say over here, the Kodesh Baruch Hu is saying that even if I punish you slightly, in my eyes, it's very significant. It's very severe. Hashem is saying, I have absolutely no joy in seeing what is going to happen to you. It may very well be that there will only be a few almanis, a few widows in Klal Yisrael. But in my eye, even one widow is too many. And even the few that there are, in my eye, is like there are. It's painful to me as if it's more numerous than the kernels of sand by the seashore. Hevesi lohem, hevesi alehem, I brought upon them. And here it's coming to explain what exactly I brought upon them. Al aim. What is an aim? Aim means a nation. Aim is a mother, literally, but here it means a nation. It's a code word for a mother. Ratzalaymar. Al Yerushalayim, hevesi kivutzas bachurim, I brought upon them a bachur. Doesn't mean one bachur, it means a kivutz, it means an army, a battalion, troops. Leo shodeid. Shodeid means they're going to plunder, pillage. Aysan be'es saharayim in the midday. Laman yira limsoi kol ginzei hamat monios. The symbolic significance of coming during the midday means that it's going to be able to find all the hidden treasures. If it's dark, then you can't see what you're looking for. I'm going to allow them to find every single treasure in Klal Yisrael. That's going to be part of the punishment. Hiplipalti. Pasuk goes on to say, I've caused to fall. Hish Ganti Alecha Pisaim, I have caused that it will suddenly rest upon them, Kavutzas Sainim, a collection of enemies, Vadas Am Ha Mivahal Hamav Hilois, and a nation that will cause great confusion among Klal Yisrael. Okay, so we go back and read the pasuk one more time because it's a complicated pasuk. Atzmuli almanos almanosav mechol yamim. Hashem says, I have no joy in witnessing your suffering, even if there only are a few widows. To me, in my eyes, it's more than that is necessary. It's painful for me as if there are more widows than there are sand along the seashore. I brought upon them Alem Al-Aim. I'm going to bring upon them. I brought upon them upon Yerushalayim. That's the nation, the city. A Bahur. Bahur means young soldiers. Shaydei, that will pillage Bat Soharayim in midday. They're going to find all of your treasures. Nothing will be left over. Hipalti Alecha Pisayim. Another frightening element of the war is it's going to happen suddenly. You're not going to be able to prepare yourself for what's happening. Air. A nation will come upon you, a city, in other words, an enormous number of people will come upon you, and you'll be in a state of confusion. Rashi, Pasik Ches, says, Otzmuli, Rabu Lufanai Al-Minaisaf, it's more numerous before me, your widows, and the pasuk goes on to say, more than the Chol Hayamim. Next, Al-Aim, like the Mesudas, Al-Yerushalayim, Shachaysa, Ir, Vo-Aim, Be-Yisrael. That's a very popular expression. You want to refer to something that's very, very, very significant, you say, Ir, Vo-Aim. A city, yeah?
Maybe the word Ummah is derived from Aim.
Ummah, yeah, I said that. In Echanam, yeah, it is. An Ummah, a nation, an Ummah comes from the word Aim. And Aim means it's significant, the mother of all surprises. Or the mother, there's always different expressions that you say to a mother. The mother represents the Shoresh, the source, significant. Ir v'aim b'Yisrael. Next, Rashi uv'tzaharayim, ha'kol yagol l'fanav, kol ginzei matmainim. The enemy will have clear view of all of your treasures. Hipalti olecha pisayim ir. Hishkanti alehem pisayim gayosos shel ir. Rashi is telling us to add a few words into the pasuk. When it says ir, it means a gayosos, the army, the troops of an entire city. It's not going to be a couple of lone soldiers that are going to attack Yerushalayim. There's going to be an organized attack by a massive army, an army that represents an entire city. There will be great confusion. Some don't translate ear as a reference to an army of a city, but rather ear is, the word ear means an enemy. The word ear means an enemy. Another pasuk, upirshei le'arecha, pasuk in the Neil, and in both of these pasukim, the word arecha, ear, there means an enemy. I'm going to bring upon you an enemy, and I'm going to bring upon you suddenly confusion. Tradak, pasuk ches, atzmuli yavoy ze lashon be'inyin hakamus v'ha'echus. This expression, atzmuli, represents its intense to me both in quantity and quality. V'omar li, who is li, ritzon elaymar, ki ani mitzar aleihem. I have pain. Hashem speaking, I have pain witnessing what is going to happen to you. Aleihem. Rabu al minaisav be'enai, and in my eyes, it's numerous the widows that are among you. Al minaisav kasub la yud. Here, just a grammatical point. It says the word al minaisav without a yud, but we read it as if the word al minaisav is spelled between the saf and the vav. It should really be a yud. The kri be yud. Vayimtzu rabim kamahu. We find many examples where you have a word and you're missing a yud between the last two letters, the saf and the vav. Now here, Radak adds a more bayer, which Rashi and the Mitzvahs avoided. When exactly in history did it happen such a thing, when there was an enormous number of widows? So he gives two interpretations. First is Zahib Bey Ochaz, Shaharag Ochaz, going back in time. Yirmiyah did not live during the time of Ochaz. Ochaz was the father of Chizkiyahu. Yirmiyah now is during the time of Yehoyakim and Tzidkiyahu. Before Yehoyakim was, before Yehoyakim was Yoshiyahu, a very great tzaddik. Before him was Amon, before him was Menashe, and before Menashe was Chizkiyahu, and before Chizkiyahu was Acha. So we're going way back in time, and there was a civil war. There was a civil war with Pekach ben Shaharak Pekach ben Remaliyahu, Behuda Meir Ve'eshim Elif B'Yamechad. 120,000 soldiers died one day. V'Nisharu Hanashim Almanos. 120,000 young soldiers died on one day, and that means there were 120,000 women that were agunos. They were almanos. And I think the Medrash Rabbeinu says not only were they almanos, they could not identify who the bodies were. So no one even knew who had definitely died. So they remain almanos chayos. The word aguna is a word that's a modern word. Aguna, there's no word aguna in the Gemara. Aguna is a word that we invented, that when a woman, I mean, she's angered down to nowhere. She cannot remarry.
Based on
Megillas
Rus, the word is used.
The word, okay, but normally, what? It's a word, but it doesn't mean what we call an aguna. We call aguna means her husband doesn't want to give her a get, or we cannot determine if her husband died to allow her to remarry. I think the term that's used in Chazal for what we call aguna, almanos chayos, living widows.
Something like that.
So, but there in that context, I don't think it necessarily means that she can't. Okay, could be. But I think the more popular, more common term is almanos chayos, a living widow. A living widow. Okay, so here this way. Now, other story, first type of achav. The first time of Achav, when it was in Maisa, I know there's a medrash that says also one of the wars that took place during the time of the civil war took place between Yehuda and Achav, and where he was so wicked, they mutilated the dead so that they could not recognize who they were, precisely to cause tsar to the women that should not be able to remarry. That was an earlier cut the nose off, exactly. That was an earlier incident, and it's going back in time, and that's what this pasuk here refers to. Otzmuli almanosa michol yamim. It means, you see, according to Mitzudos, this is not what it's referring to. According to the Mitzudos, it means they're going to be some. It appears that it means they're going to be isolated situations where women are widows. Yet Hashem says even one widow in my eyes is numerous, is equivalent to having widows equal to the sand of the sea. Because Hashem is trying to express His pain, but it does not literally mean that there is an abundance, there is a large amount of women in this situation. According to the Radak is saying, no, we're discussing a very specific period of time in history. We're going back to Pekach ben Remaliyahu, when there was a civil war between him and the king of Yehuda, and Pekach ben Remaliyahu, he killed 120,000 people in one day, and all of these women remain almanos. The Medrash is referring to a different period of time, going back even further to the time of Achav, Aviyah ben Yehoram. We're going back to a time of Yeravam ben Nevat was the first king, the very first king of the Aseres HaShvatim. His son was Aviyah. And he also went to war against the kings of Yehuda. And he mutilated the victims. There were 500,000 victims. That's quite a number. 500,000 people. Isn't that? That's an enormous number. And he bedafka this. He was such a rasha. He cut off their noses, so therefore no one should be able to identify that they died, in order to prevent their wives from remarrying. Very great horror. And that's what it's to be in this pasuk, that Otzmuli Almanosav Michol Yanim. Okay, the next words of the Radak are, Hevesi lachem al aim bachur shoydei bat soharayim. I brought upon the aim. I brought upon the city of Yerushalayim, ir vo aim b'Yisrael. Al kihilas bachurim hevesi shoydei bat soharayim. The Radak differs with the Rashi and the Mitzudos. He puts the word bachur not part of the second half of the pasuk, but part of aim. In other words, until now we've been learning the pasuk as follows. Say, they see lohem, I brought to them al aim, kama, I brought upon Yerushalayim. Who did I bring? I brought the enemy. And the enemy is being described as a bachur shodet. So according to Rashi and the Mitzvot, the word bachur is to be read together with the word shodet. It defines, shodet defines the bachur. The Radak disagrees. The Radak holds that the word shodet, bachur, is part of the aim. That it's a city of vigor. A city of vitality, of youthfulness. I brought upon Al-Aim Bahur, upon a massive, mighty city of youth, of health, vitality, a Shaydeid, an army that would pillage and destroy them. That's how the Radak learns. Look at the words in the word Radak over time. Hevesi lohem Al-Aim Bahur, Shaydeid Batzarayim, Al-Kihilas Bahurim, upon an assembly of young men. So aim is the kihila, the bachur means the young men. Hevesi, I brought a shoydeid bat soharoyim. I brought an enemy that would pillage in midday. Kuloimar, kiloi bahu balayla kaganovim. The enemy did not show up middle of the night like a robber. Ela bat soharoyim, voloi ho'ila labachurim giburosam. And the strength of the Gibayrim was unable to prevent the might of the Shoydeid from conquering. Aim, what is the meaning of the word aim? Ritzon Eloimar, Kihila Oy Mishpacha. It is a code word for a assembly or a family. K'moish Nikreis Om V'Uma. Exactly what you said, Rav Michal. The word Uma, a nation, comes from the word aim. Bachor, Alderich Klal, the word Bachur is singular, but it represents the collective noun. The collective noun refers to a city, a kihila of youth. All of the people in the city are young and healthy and strong and mighty, and yet they were unable to prevent the Shoydeid from attacking. K'moy Bachurim, the Chayin, for example, Sheish Mils Rechev Bachur, he is a very, very good example. Rechev Bachur, chariot there, it says there were 600, and yet we're calling all of them Bachur. And there in the context, it certainly means Bachurim. The Chayin Tirgum Yonasan.
It also means select.
Select. Okay, that's a different interpretation. Very good. But he's not saying that. It's serious. It appears here that he's not saying select. It means.
If you look at the Ma'ariv Kra,
yeah,
the word Bachur, it says, the one chosen.
Chosen. I'm going to bring a chosen, a Bachur Shoydeid, a chosen enemy Bat Soharayim. That's a new interpretation. So he's putting the word Bachur like Rashi on the Mitzudos as part of the description of the enemy. And he's been called someone who's been selected by Hashem to bring the Chorban. Okay, the Chayin Tikkum Yonasan, ACC, Alehoin, I'm going to bring upon them the Goymer Kibbe'a mode, like we explained before. Next words of the Radak, Hiflesi Oleha Pisoim Ir Ubeholois. What does this mean? Oleha, I'm going to bring the cast down upon it. What is the it? What's the subject? Al Ha'im Shezachar, upon the nation. Hipalti Ir. What does it mean? I'm going to cast down an ir, a city, with Soyne Lomar, Churban He'orim. New interpretation. He is disagreeing with the parish of Rashi and the Mitzudos. Ir does not mean an enemy. Ir does not mean the armies of a city. Ir is to be connected to the word hipalti. In other words, you have to read the words out of order. It's as if the pasuk says hipalti. I've cast down. I've brought the churban of the city. Churban He'orim. I brought a hipalti, I've caused to be cast down the ear. The city of Yerushalayim has been destroyed. In other words, ear is a poetic repetition for the word aim. Aim represents the nation, and ear represents the nation, and it is this which is being cast down. Uveholois, kimoi pisam. The word behola is another word for suddenness. There's much repetition in this pasuk. Vayavhilu lehavias Haman. Haman was confused. They suddenly clapped him and brought him to bring him to Achashverosh. Shechilu Amar, hipalti oleha pisaim ubeholois ir. I've swiftly brought upon them, you take the two words together, I swiftly brought the city down into destruction. Those two words basically are two words which mean exactly the same thing. Repetition never hurts, it just strengthens the matter. Like we have in reference to a nazir. Halaf hames bepesa pisam. If a nazir suddenly discovers himself to become tamei because he has come in contact with a dead body, period. And now he provides another interpretation. The adoni of yischon levacha peirash ear. This is what Rashi, in his second interpretation, explained. A soinei kemoi vayihi orecha, and in that pasuk, it means a soinei. It means an enemy. I'll bring upon you an enemy. I'm going to bring mashrion. I think it means they're. Okay, I'm not sure. I don't know what it means. What yodisim means? The goymer kib amud, like we explained. So, bottom line over here is we have many interpretations of all these words, and whatever interpretation you want to say, it's not good. It's not a good situation. Bachur, akisera Marie Kora, it's select. Netzar, Bachur means it's a nation, Klal Yisrael, that is vibrant. Or Bachur is defining the enemy. The enemy is the Bachur Shaydeid. Bat Soharayim in Midday, they'll discover your secrets. Hipalti lecha pisayim ir uvehalois. Behala can either mean confusion or can mean suddenness. And ear, we learn many interpretations. An enemy, the armies of an enemy, or Yerushalayim is the ear, and the ear will be cast down. It's going back on the word hipalti. I'm going to cause Yerushalayim to suddenly be destroyed through the efforts of the enemy, and all of this will take place in a very swift period of time. Okay, then we have the concept of the aguna, the almanoisav, michol yamim. There are even a few almanois in Hashem's eyes as painful as if there are many, or we are referring to one of two very specific periods in the history of Klal Yisrael when indeed there were many agunois, either in the time of Pekach ben Remaliah or in the time of Ochaz. Ochaz was the Melech of Yehuda, and Pekach ben Remaliah was the king of the Malchei Yisrael. There was a civil war. He wiped out in one day 120,000, or referring to a pact time even earlier than that, towards the very beginning of the split of Klal Yisrael, in the time of Aviah ben Yeravam, who killed 500,000, Hafle Vafel is such a number, 500,000 men, and cut off their noses in order to kosar to the Noshim, they should not be able to remarry. Let's go to the next Pasuk. Pasuk Tes. Pasuk Tes is a very, unfortunately, a Pasuk which has taken up a lot of attention by the Midrashim. Umlila Yerledes Hashiva. The one who has given birth to seven is in a state of mourning. As you probably right away think about, Eim Habonim Semecha. That's the opposite. Okay, that's the Chanukah story. Okay, a lot of Midrashim. In fact, it's a Gemara. We're probably not going to get to it on the next stop that we're learning now in Gittin. Actually, goes through the entire sugya of this pasuk. Umlila yoledes hashiv. Okay, we'll discuss in a few moments. But first, the Rashi and the Mitzvahs have a very very simple interpretation of what it means. The one that has given birth to seven has become come to a state of mourning. Nafecha nafsha, her neshama is exhausted. Nafecha means is distressed, is distraught. Ba shimsha, her son has set. Ba'od yomam, while it's still day. Bosha v'cha feira, she is ashamed and disgraced. Usha'eirisam, and the remnants, meaning the leftovers, lacheref etain, I will deliver to the enemy, lefnei oyvehem, nu'um Hashem, so says Hashem. So before we I'll just tell you outside, the idea is, according to the Pashtanim, we're dealing here with aseres hashvatim and the two shvatim. Malchus of Yisrael and the Malchus of Yehuda. The Malchus of Yisrael is called the Yoledes Shiva. Why? There were seven evil kings. There were several evil kings that the Malchus of Yehuda produced. So when they were finally taken away into exile by Sanherib, they are in a permanent state of mourning, and they're called the Yoledes HaShiva. They are Umlala. They are exhausted, their sun has set, they're embarrassed, they're ashamed, and who's left in Klal Yisrael? The two Shvatim, Yehuda and Binyamin. They're called the She'erisam, the remnants. They will also follow and go into exile through Nebuchadnezzar at this point in time. Let's take a look at the Mesilas Tavit, Pasuk Tes. Umlala, Kivar Golsa Shaimrain. Shaimrain already has gone into exile. The Aseres Hashvatim, Shegodla Zayin Mishpachos Milachim Rishaim. We're enumerating seven evil kings that came forth from the Aseres Hashvatim. Who are they? Vehaim Yeravam ben Nevat Ubeso. He was the first one. He was the one that started the whole thing. He rebelled against Rechavam, the son of Shlomo HaMelech. Then we refer at Beso. Now there were many descendants. He had Avia, and we're not counting every single king because they were children. They were descendants of one another. So we count a group. I have here in the back of the safe all the kings. I'm sure there's a chart here somewhere of all the kings. Here it is. The kings of Yisrael. Okay, I'll read you over here some of them. So you have Yeravam ben Nevat, he was the first one. Then Nadav ben Yeravam, and Nadav, he only was the king for 2 years. Give me one moment, let me just count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. Here in this appendix, in the back of the article, it counts 20 kings from Shomrein, from the Malchus of Yisrael. We're only listing now 7. Why only 7? There were some that were tzaddikim, so they're not counted. And the ones that were Rishayim, some of them are grouped together with their father or their grandfather because they were considered to be one unit. Okay, obviously, this requires a much greater scrutiny to understand why this number is an accurate, precise way of describing the wicked nature of the Aseres HaShvatim, of the Malchus of Yisrael. But he does count in Rebbe Nevat, Ubeso. Okay, that really includes 2. And then we skip down to Bosha. Bosha. Am I pronouncing that right? Is it Bosha or Bosha? Sin. With a sin? Basha? Basha. The sin? Basha? With a shin. Basha. Ubeso. So we count him and his family. Okay. His child. He had a child. Ela. Ben. Basha. Omri. Ubeso. Then we skip down to Omri. Achav comes later. Achav was the son of Omri. Achav was the next one.
He's part of Omri.
Omri, Ubeso, Yehu Ubeso, Menachem Ubeso, Pekach Ubeso, Hoshea ben Ela Ubeso. So basically we group together the leaders, and that's why we have exactly 7.
Who are the Tzadikim? Not supposed to be, but look,
we have Tzadik Yahu,
right?
No, Tzadik Yahu is from Yehuda.
Oh,
we're talking about the Malchus of Yisrael. Malchus of Yisrael. Okay, I don't know. I don't know.
It's a Malchus in the Gemara
version. What? No, you're right, that's Rashi. You're referring to Rashi.
Right.
Okay, right now, but according to the Mitzvot over here, it says we're describing the Malchus of Yisrael. We're going to come to that interpretation in a moment. And when it says over here, Umlala Yoledes HaShiva, the Aseres HaShvatim have already gone into exile. They described Yoledes HaShiva. There were 7 major kings and major families. And we include their children, even though there are 20, but we group together the children and the grandchildren with the parents because it was considered to be one unit, one trend of thought, one approach to wickedness. The pasuk goes on, the Metzudas David, Nofcha Nafsha.
England, they call it the house of Windsor.
The house of Windsor. So same idea, the families. Nafcha Nafsha, Hoyla Davo Nefesh. They had grief. Boshimsha. Now this is very common. I am assuming that this expression that we are familiar with, Boshimsha, Ba'od Yom, Here it says Vod Yomam, obviously it comes to some degree from this pasuk. You see that Amatsevos, that Nusal Veri Tam, Rechmanu Litzlon, when a person dies young, it's called their sunset in midday. Right, so where does that pasuk, where does that idea come from? Everything always comes rooted back in Nachat, right here. Boshim Shadar, and that refers to the Malchus of Yisrael. They only lasted for 250 years. They did not last for 410 years. They lasted very short. Boshim Shadar, Shaka Shimsha, Kishahoye, Od Hayom Gadol, Ratzulaymar, Hushbal Gidulasa, Bimihirus, Bilay Zimna, before its time. Before its time, they came to then, Sancheriv came and exiled them in three waves, three different kufais until there was nothing left. Bosha, she is put to shame. The chofera, she is humiliated. The yosheves begoyla bebusha uchlima, she sits in exile in a state of shame. We have machlokes in the Gemara. Will the aseres hashvatim, will they return at the time of Mashiach? That is a machlokes. Usheri sam. Now here is the remnant. Who is the remnant of Klal Yisrael? Hasheres hanisharam maadas Yisrael heim Yehuda uBinyamin. So here the pasuk says that things are not good for them. Etin gamosam lechedem lufnei oivehem, they will also go into exile. So we have here a very solid interpretation of this pasuk with comparing the malchus of Yisrael to the malchus of Yehuda. The malchus of Yisrael is called the Shiva, Unula Shiva. Their sun set in midday. They've gone into exile. And watch out, Yehuda and Binyamin, your day of reckoning is coming as well. Rashi. Different interpretation. Rashi, Umula pasik tes. Umula yoledes hashiva. So first he says like mitzudos shaimrain. Shaimrain is the capital of the aser of the aseres hashvatim of malchus of Yisrael. Uchinesia. Shel Aseres Hashvatim, it is the ingathering, it is the collection, the assembly of the Aseres Hashvatim. Shamdu mehem zayin mishpachos, seven houses, seven families. Kvar umlula v'golsa, they have already been brought to a state of mourning and have gone into exile. Ushe risam el Yehuda. This is Malchus of Yehudu Ktsas Binyamin, Shenishtaru B'Yisrael, which remain, Lecherev Eitein, they're going to go into Chorban. Now, what are the seven families? So you go, it's exactly what the Mitzudah said, Ve'elu Chayin Hashem Mishpachos, Yerav Benavat, Ubeso, Basho Ubeso, Amri Ubeso, Yehu Ubeso, Menachem Ubeso, Pekach Ubeso, Hoyshe Ubeso. Next, Novcha Nafsha, her, she is in a state of despair, Lashon Do'avo Nafsha, she is in a state of pain. Metargaminon v'da'avon nefesh da'avon. That's the expression. That's what the 3 weeks. The Bein Hametzarim call me. They have to have da'avon to mourn, to be this anguish over the Churban Beis Hamikdash. U'mafchan nefesh. The Targum translates it. It means the despair, the tsar, the despair of the neshama. Be'od yomam, b'loy zmana mi'aru lipol. They came to an end before their time. Kach nidrash b'mesech d'gidim mesech d'zgidim. Okay, that's the Pshat Gemar b'daf peches, peches d'gidim. Interesting. Very, very interesting is that the truth is, it was never meant to be a malchus of Yisrael. Think about that. The malchus was only meant to be a malchus of David. The split of the malchus was not ideal. It was not ideal. Yet, Hashem, Achia Hashiloni, he sanctioned that there should be a split. Since there were problems in the malchus of David, Rechavam, Shlomo HaMelech, he took too many wives, and that extended into Rechavam. So then we went, as a Reisman, he always explained this plan A and this plan B. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because they were chatoim in the malchus of David, at the time of Shlomo HaMelech, they had to go to plan B. Now, plan B was sanctioned by the Navi. The Melech of Yisrael, he was anointed. And it was meant that, listen, if we're going to ready to go to plan B, let plan B endure. Let there be a malchus of Yisrael all the way until the end of days. However, the malchus of Yisrael became corrupt. It became corrupt to the degree where they were all Rishayim, and therefore they had plan B had to come to an end. They were cut off before its time. Once HaKadosh Baruch Hu already sanctioned that there should be a plan B was meant to last for a much longer period of time. And now, because Plan B, the kings of Malchus of Yisrael were so corrupt, it says here it was Be'od Yomam, Bo Shimsha Be'od Yomam. They came to an end prematurely. Now he quotes what Yura Mechal were referring to. With a Medrash, Rabbi Tanchuma Darshu Klape Yerushalayim. When it says Umlilo Yeledes Hashiva refers to the seven evil kings. The seven evil kings in the Malchus of Yehuda, most of them were tzaddikim, but there were seven rishayim. Umayne Shiva rishayim, Yehoiram, Yehoyosh, Ochoz, Menashe, Amon, Yehoyakim, and Tzidkiyahu. That might be a shock to many people. Why was Tzidkiyahu Rasha? Because he rebelled. He was made for the oath, a shvua. He made an oath to Nebuchadnezzar. It was a chilul Hashem that he annulled his oath. And second problem with Tzidkiyahu was he did not listen to Yirmiyah, who told him to surrender. If you would surrender Yerushalayim to Nebuchadnezzar, it would have been a different story. On the other hand, Tzidkiyahu was a tzaddik. He did a lot. He tried to do tshuva. He did a lot of very good things. He was a complex person. Someone once told me, this says in Chazal, Al tihiye baz l'chol adam. So that, what does that mean? It simply means that don't hate people. Al tihiye baz l'chol, don't be of a nature where every person you see in the street, Russia, black, the whole world, everything, the whole world, buzz l'chol adam. Don't despise mankind. That's the simple interpretation. So someone once told me there's a much deeper interpretation. It means al tiyibaz l'chol adam means the entire, not every humanity, the entire person. There's no person in the world that's perfect. Every person has defects. So when you see a person and you don't like something about him, okay, that prat you can hate, but there are other redeeming qualities in the person. Alti boz l'chol adam, interpreted as if it says l'chol ha'adam. Don't despise the entire person. If you don't like something about a person, okay, you could have that. But the rest of the person, which many times can be 99.9% of the person, you should appreciate, you should respect, you should realize he has unique qualities and talents that are special, and he is deserving of your respect. But one little prat that you don't like about him, don't take it out of context, don't get carried away and despise the entire person just because he has a big nose. He has one little problem. It doesn't mean the entire person has to be despised. So same with Tzidkiyahu, you see that he's a very complex person. Tzidkiyahu mitzad echad is called a tzaddik, and mitzad sheni, here you have a very frightening medrash that says he was one of the seven rishoyim in the malchus of Yehuda. Now let's see the Radak. The Radak says, Umlala Yoledas Hashiva, the woman who has given birth to seven has... I'm sorry, okay. So you Ach Yesh Limlais Oid Rechavam, Avia, Ach Yesh Limlais Oid, you have to also count Rechavam. Rechavam was a Rasha, Avia, his son, Amatzia, and Achazia. So he's not explaining over here what this means. He's not explaining over here why we're counting only seven, and then he adds for us another four. Right? Like the store, 7-Eleven.
What did Rechavam do?
Rechavam, because he didn't listen to the Zakenim. The Zakenim told him to lower taxes. And the Yeladim, the Zakenim, that's a defect. That's a very significant... He was the cause of the Malchus splitting. That can't be a good thing. Can't be a good thing that he was the cause. L'chor, the Zakenim with the Talmidei Chachamim. And the youngsters were... people that were not holding where they should. So if he's saying this, obviously there's a problem. So he does include over here four more. So I don't know the pshat. I didn't see the pshat over here. He says over here, the Tanchuma says seven. I guess they were on a different level of rishus. There were another four. Those four were no tzaddikim. But you cannot match the wickedness of the four to the extreme evil of the seven. And that's what the pasuk over here means. Ulul Yelez Hashiva, they're now going to be, instead of mourning,
first tier is
a chiddush.
Yeah.
To put it here on the first tier is also a chiddush. Ein hachinami. It's not our business to go analyze madregot of rishus. It's very interesting. Everyone is, no two people are the same. Let's go to the Radak. Pasek pasuk tes. Umlah yeledes hasheva, yeledes banim rabim, the one that has given birth to many children. Who is this? The Knesses Yisrael. The Shiva Inyan Ribu Bimukaimos. So here the Radak is taking the most simple interpretation. Normally the Radak is fond of taking Midrashim and going off the beaten track. But here, if since Rashi and the Mitsudos have gone to the Midrashim, so the Radak has to fill in the gaps and he goes to the Pshat. Yilad HaShiva means the one that has given birth to many in abundance. Seven is the number of Ribui, and if V'loi Chezrim L'chuvim, this number means nothing. Don't get carried away with the number seven. It just means the one that has given this produced Klal Yisrael. V'chein Ad Akara Yilad HaShiva Pasuk in Shmuel, this is the Shir of Chana. Chana says the Akara has given birth to seven. It just means that you never would have expected this woman to have so many children. Sheva Yipol Tzadik V'kom, famous Pasuk in Mishlei, the Tzadik, he falls down seven times. It doesn't mean literally seven. The nature of a Tzadik is always to rebound, resilience. Sheva Yipol Tzadik Sheva Yipol Tzadik V'kom. Mishlei, it says that, I have some repetition here by mistake, I think.
No, Sheva Yipol Tzadik V'kom, it's another
Pasuk. Okay, I have a mistake in my text. Sheva Yipol Tzadik V'kom, Sheva Yipol Tzadik V'kom. You have that in your edition?
Yeah.
So I have a mistake in my edition. I have here the pasuk repeated twice. There are a lot of mistakes here. Interesting. Art school was normally the pretty... What?
Having seven children today, do we have anything?
No, what?
Having seven children.
Today, no. It's a guarantee to go to Gan Eden. There's such a...
Seven sons.
If you have seven sons, there's a ticket to Gan Eden. Where does that come from? Who said such a thing?
I heard it.
Okay, if Chazal... Yeah, you heard this?
Yeah, heard.
If you have seven sons, you're guaranteed to go to Gan Eden. Okay, there must be a makar. It must be a Hashem is a person, the bracha. It's a sign that Hashem is a very big bracha. Nafcha Shiva, the soul is in a state of despair. Inyan da'avon, sadness. K'moy mapach nafesh, which means there as well, the same word over here, which means nafcha nafsha, means despair. Bo shim shabir yomim al derech mashal merov hatsaros, k'mosh amar gam kein al hatsaros choshach ha-shemesh b'tzeitso, the sun is dark when it goes forth. There's no ray of hope. There's no light. Ba'a kasuv ba'kri. It's written b'lashayin nikeva, but we read it without the hay. Ba'kri. V'Hashem Hashim solashon zoch lashon nikeva. It's not really a question because the word shemesh is one of those words which is sometimes zochor and sometimes nikev. There are many words, a list. I actually know the Sefer has a list of all the words. Not all the words. I think many of the words which can be used, both zochor and nikev. You know what the most common word is? Nefesh. Is nefesh the soul of a person? Is it nefesh tohar or nefesh tohara? Go look at the Matzevus. Go look, you'll see here after Matzevus, you refer to nefesh, lashon nekeva, and here, it's one of the words which goes both ways, exactly. Bosha v'chofra, inyan kofel, the mila shaynais, two words which mean the exact same thing, they put to shame. Ish, ilush erisam, hash erish, shalo yelcha begoylo etin lechem, the ones that are not going to exile, they will be killed. V'yesh lefarish ush erisam, means their children. Has a second interpretation. The adults, they have died. And the remnant of the adults, which means their children, will also. Okay, so we have over here so far three interpretations as the word, as to this pasuk, Umlilo Yuladis Hashiva, according to the parish of the Miradak. It means Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael, who have a history of being productive. And a nation that has accomplished is now in a state of churban, and their sun has set before their time. Rashi in the first interpretation and the Mitzudos refers specifically to the Aseres Hashvatim. They have seven evil families, and they have gone into exile, and soon the Yehuda and Binyamin will follow as well. And Rashi in the second interpretation says the entire pasuk refers to Yehuda and Binyamin. There were seven evil kings in Yehuda, and they are all in a very great state of tzar. Now, the Medrash, there are two Midrashim. One Medrash is interprets this as a reference to one of the kinois that we recite on Tisha B'Av. I don't remember which number it is, towards the end. When Yirmiyah, he goes out into the street and he sees a woman dressed in black. He sees a scary woman. A scary woman that has beautiful features, but is filthy, dirty, and dressed in black. And he says to her, "Who are you? Are you a demon? Or are you a person?" And she says, "Neither, none of the above. I'm not a demon, I'm not a person. I am the Mother Yisrael. I am Knesset Yisrael. I represent, I'm like the guardian angel of Klal Yisrael, and that's why I have beautiful features." And she gives all these code words. I'm 1, I'm 3, I'm 60, I'm 70, all of these numbers. She gives a whole code who she is. 1 represents Avraham, 3 is the Avos, 12 are the Shvatim, 70 are the Sanhedrin, 60 is the Shishim Riboy. She gives these numbers. And the reason why I am wearing black and I'm filthy dirty is because I am in a state of mourning. My children have gone into exile, and Yirmiyah, you got to do something. You got a call to action. You got to do something. Go to the Ma'aras HaMachpelah and be Mevake Yisrachamim. Tell Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and Moshe, the Aaron, to come be Mispalo. Okay, those are the kinas. That's the kina. So the Medrash interprets that the woman, this woman that was dressed in black, is the one that's Yoled Shiva. She's exactly who we are referring to. And let me read to you the words of this Medrash. This is new to me. Not the chiddush. Everything is new to me. But this is something I never saw before. Let me just turn to the right page. Give me one moment. Here it is. I'm just going to turn to the page. This is to be found in the Pesikta Rabosi. You familiar with that? Parsha Chavav. And the words are Almina pasuk ze. That's how it starts. Elosh Amar Yirmiyahu. I lifted up my eyes. Viraisi isha achas yeshaves b'roish ahar. She was sitting on the top of the mountain. Levusheha shechayrim. Her garments were black. The kina, mamish the kina. Useoros sosur. Her hair was undone. So ekes. She was crying. Mivakeshes miyinachamena. Who is going to give comfort to this person, referring to herself in third person? V'ani tzeik mevakesh mi yinachameni. Korafti amak tzeik shu. That means, basically, she's crying, who is going to give comfort to this woman? Korafti etzla v'dibarti imo v'yamarti lo. Are you a person or are you a demon? In isha at? Dabri imi v'imruach. And if you're a demon? At histalkimi lefanai. Remove yourself. Disappear. I don't want to have any ace with demons. The demons, arois. Arois in the Beis Medrash. Only dealing with, only the Noshim can come into the Beis Medrash. Not the demons. It goes to show you that a woman is not a demon. A woman is not a shay. You know, some people will tell you that's not so. Some people will tell you it's all the same, right? But see over here, it's not so. So here, it's very, the words are very fascinating. Unsova Amra leaves, so she responded, Ein cha makireni? Yirmiyah, you don't recognize me. You don't look at a woman. Yirmiyah, you don't recognize me. Anihi shahayuli shiva banim. It is I who had 7 children. Yotza aviyam lemedina sayam. Ad shani oile uboiche alav. Hareish. I'm the woman that doesn't say who the 7 children are. This is a very big mystery, this medrash to me. I don't know who this is. Ad shani oile uboiche alav. Hareish shani bov omarli. Before, now Yirmiyah says, before I had a chance to continue my conversation with this woman, a messenger arrived and told me, Nafal Habayis. So someone came and told me, Nafal Habayis al Shiva Bonaich Vaharagom. Okay, wait, I'm sure I'm saying this correctly. Eni Yode al Mi Efkev al Mi Estar Sarai Im Aladia.
Before she mourned about the fact that her husband disappeared, a messenger came and said all the children were killed.
All the children were killed. Ah, so it's therefore her husband and her children. So one more time. Their father went. And before I had a chance to cry for my husband who disappeared, Hare Sheni Bava Omali Nofal Habayis Al Shiva Bonayich Vaharagam, your seven children died. So now, in Yodea, Al Miefke, should I cry on my husband or should I cry on my seven children? Al Mies, Al Miestar Sari, Imalaviem, Oyal Bonai, Oyal Habayis, or further, or maybe on the bias. My house also has been destroyed. So there are three tragedies. The house has collapsed, my children have died, and my husband disappeared. So which of the three should I cry for? This is what this woman said to Yirmiyahu. Anisi v'amarti, Ein atoiva min imi tzion, v'hi ir tzion asuya melechayas hasadeh. So Yirmiyahu says to her, you're no better than tzion. Tzion has turned into a place for the animals. Ansa v'amrli, ani inich tzion. That's exactly who I am. I am tzion. In other words, the whole very bizarre conversation. Who are you? Are you a woman or are you a shade? You don't recognize me. You don't recognize who I am? I am a woman who suffered through tragedies. Hear me, it says, your tzaras are nothing. Kineged the tzaras of Klal Yisrael. So the woman says, that's who I am. That's exactly who I am. I represent Klal Yisrael. Ani imech tzion. I am your mother tzion. Ani hi aim hashiva. I am the mother of seven. Shekein kasuv. That's what it says in the pasuk. Umlo yoledes hashiva. So Amar Yirmiyahu says to Doma makosech lemakosah shel Iyov. Now this is very bizarre. And I don't know what this means. I'm not going to go through the entire thing. But basically, Yirmiyahu says that you're no different than Iyov. Iyov had seven sons. Okay, seven sons, they all died. The bayis, the house collapsed on the seven sons and they died. And he goes on to say that just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Nechama to Iyov, at the end of Sefer Iyov it says that he had 14 children. Hashem gave him double of what he had originally. So Yirmiyahu was Menachem, this Iyov, the Imcha, the Im Tzion, Hashem will ultimately give you comfort and you will have double. I'll read you a few of the words. So he says to her, you know, different. Iyov lost his children. And from you also you lost your children. Iyov lost his possessions. You also lost your possessions. Iyov was thrown into the garbage. Was ill. Just like Iyov ultimately received comfort, you also will have comfort. Iyov received double the sons and daughters at the end of the Sefer. You also received double. And just like Iyov's possessions were doubled, his gold and silver was doubled, so too, and just like Iyov was raised from the ashpa, from the garbage, he became physically strong. Nari, shake yourself up from the filth. May afar kumi shvi Yerushalayim. Basar v'dam bino isach. Basar v'dam hecherivech. Human beings built you. Human beings destroyed you. But la'asa lavai, Hashem is going to rebuild Yerushalayim. Bonei Yerushalayim. Hashem nidche yisro yichanes. Amen. B'mheir v'yameinu. Hakadosh Baruch Hu yikayim es hamikra shakos v'leinu. Ufiduye Hashem yeshuvunu v'olid tzion berina. Okay, that's the Medrash. It's very kedai to what we did, because this really touches upon what we say in the Kines. But what's very bizarre is the Kines make no mention of about half the things that we have mentioned here in this Pesikta Rabasi. There's no conversation about Iyov. There's no conversation about Umlila, bringing into the picture the Yoledes Hashiva, the one that has given birth to seven. There's a very big mystery here. Who are the seven? What are the seven? Who are the seven? The only similarity over here is are you a shade? Are you an Isha? And she says, you know who I am? I am your mother, Imi Tzion. Imech Tzion. That Ani Imech Tzion. Yirmiyahu first doesn't chap. That was so. She needed to clarify. In the Kina, you don't get that impression. In the Kina, it's immediately clear who she is when she says, I am your mother Tzion. The only thing that bothers me, which I don't have an answer for, is Eoiv's most of the commentators are not very positive in the fact that Eov, his everything was restored. It was almost as a bidyavet. Eov was unable to appreciate the full answer to the question of tzaddik v'raloi, rasha v'toivloi. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the end said, listen, you don't understand, you know what, I don't want you to have tainus on me. I'm going to give you back whatever you lost. I'll give you double your children, double your wealth. The impression that I got, maybe I'm totally wrong, is that there's a higher level. Klal Yisrael is on a higher level than Eif. The Klal Yisrael would not have been necessary, the compensation prize at the end. Klal Yisrael, this was Eif. Eif did stumble. Eiv, according to Moshe Chazal, Eiv was not on the madrega of Avraham Avinu. Avraham was on a higher madrega. Avraham completely was mekabel with Hashem's ratzon. Eiv broke down. Originally, in the beginning, was mekabel, but as the yisurim intensified, he was critical. And therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu said, I don't want you to have tainus on me, so I'm going to give you a special bracha. Eiv l'choira is not the model for Klal Yisrael. That's the only point that bothers me. That's I think that's the Parshat Shah. We spend a lot of time learning Eof. It's something which is very critical to understand, but it's not necessarily the model for Klal Yisrael. And yet here in this Medrash, Adarabah, Imech Tzion is being compared to Eof, and just like Eof received Nechama, so too Klal Yisrael will receive the same Nechama.
Can't you just say that the fact that it's part of the Nevi'im,
Ksuvim, Ein Ochanami, because there's what to learn. There's what to learn. There's no question about it. But I'm just throwing out ideas. But you get the from the very beginning of the Sefer Yevuli Midrashim, the first one, the first Midrashim is where we learn that the Satan was mechavan l'shem Shemayim. Why was he mechavan l'shem Shemayim? Because he saw that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was leaning towards Eif. Avraham is not so special. There's an Avraham Avinu, and there's an Eif. Avraham is not so special. So the entire story of Eif is to justify that, yes, Avraham Avinu is special. There is no one like Avraham. Even Eif, who seems to be a match for Avraham, doesn't make it mamish to the madrega of Avraham. He comes close, but no cigar. If that is correct, it's a little surprising that here in this medrash, when we discuss Ani imech tzion, I am your mother tzion, why it should be that the end should be that we indeed should be compared to Eif. I don't know the answer. Okay, now another chazal, which is the Gemara in Masechta Gittin and Daf Nun Zayin Omid Beis. We're only going to be able to get out the probably involved in Zayin Amid Aleph, but in Zayin Amid Beis deals with a very frightening story at the time of the Churban, when the Kesar, he demanded of a woman, that a woman who had seven sons, they all come and bow down to him. And each one of the children refused to bow down to the Kesar. The Kesar had made himself into an idol, into an Avodah Zarah, and he demanded that they all bow down. Let me just come with a few of the words. There are some very choice words in this Ma'ir Mechazal. It all begins with the story, Maisa b'Miriam bas Nachtoim, Shenishbeis hi v'shiva boneha, they were taken captive. They were taken captive, and not one Kesar, the Kesar went, when the son of Lego min Shiva kin kolin, into a bias that had seven separate chambers. So each child was isolated, they should not know what's doing with the other child. And he started with the oldest child, and he asked him, please come out and bow down before me, bow down to the Avodah Zarah. And the child recorded the Pasuk, Chas v'shalom, it says in the Pasuk, Onochi Hashem Elokecha. So he killed him. He brings out the second child. Same thing, he says, Lo yeh lecho Elohim achedim al panai. The third child, he says, Ki lo sishtach ve'el nechar. Fourth child, he told him, Zaveach l'Elohim yocharam. Fifth child, Ki Hashem Elokecha mikirbecha kel gadol v'nara. And each child refused to bow down, and they all quoted various psukim. he finally got to the seventh child, and he said to the seventh child, he was a little child, he was only 2-3 years old, says in the Medrash, in the Gemara, in the Medrash, and he said, "Nu, bow down to me." And he said, and he told him, so he said, "No." So he says, "You know, your 6 brothers, I already killed them. They all refused to bow down. At least they experienced life." That's what it says in the Medrash. They all had the time of life. They all grew, and the words are, Omar loy kesar, achecha savu yamim. They were satiated with the days. They had long, productive lives. So what a way to go. So they died al kiddush Hashem. They died, but they also had, they had a good life. The savu chayim virahu toiva. The atakatan, your little child, loy savata yamim, loy savata chayim, loy reisa tov ba'olam. It's not kedai for you to die at this point in time in your life. Just bow down to me. Bow down to the Tzelem, and I'll give you a good life. The child said, Hashem yimloich li'olam bo'ed. Hashem yimloich li'olam bo'ed. So then the keser said to him, listen, you know what? Just make believe. I'm going to throw my ring on the floor, and you're going to pick up the ring. So really, your kavana, it's not going to look like you're bowing down to me. It looks like you're going to get, it looks like you're just picking up the ring. You don't have to have kavana. Just go through the motions. And no one will accuse you, because when they'll play back the videotape, everyone's going to see. They'll see that you're really picking up the ring. Just do that. So he said, no, even that I'm not going to do. Even that I'm not going to do. And now hear this. Even that I'm not going to do. And there are some very powerful words. Let me just read these words. These words ring in my mind, because I remember a share from Rabbi Yaakov Shachter, and I remember how unbelievable, how eloquent he is. He has tremendous koyach adibur, how he brought out these words. Re'ei achecha harugim lefonecha v'hareini, the keser said, mashlich tabati la'ores lefnei hatzelem v'hegbia kidei sheyedu hakol sheshamata l'koili. And you'll pick it up. Omaloi. So the child said the following words to the Kesar. Chavol olecha Kesar. Chavol, woe to you, the Kesar. Mo im atom misyoy bimnei odam shekamo yischa. Ani loy esyorei mimelech malchi amlochim HaKadosh Baruch Hu elokei ha'olam. Why do you want me to bow down to you? You don't want to be embarrassed. Everyone is watching. You want me to bow down to you, and you should not be put to shame. And therefore, you're telling me, just make believe you're picking up the ring, so for the cameras, it will look like you're bowing down to me, and I will not be ashamed. Chavalicha. You're concerned for your kavod, and you're not concerned for the kavod of the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's what the child who ultimately put the Kesar to shame with these words, Chaval Alecha Kesar. You're a grown man, and you're a baby. You're a grown man who never matured. You can say the same thing about some of the politicians. Chavalcha. Someone 70 years old behaves like a 2-year-old.
Which one?
There's only one. I'm sorry. Michal, I don't mean to put down the party, but I mean, it's shocking. Some of the things that come out of his mouth are just shocking. The case that says, he's telling me there's a God? There's really a God in this world? So the child, again, you're dealing with a 2-year-old child, he says to the grown adult, Alelai olecha kesar. Woe to you, kesar. V'chi oylam shel hefker ro'isa. You think the world is an oylam shel hefker? You do whatever you want, and there's no accountability. There's no din v'cheshbon. Amalei ha-kesar. Okay, now it goes on. We're not going to go through this. He goes on to the entire mizmar in Tehillim of Einayim lohem v'lo yiru, was Einayim lohem v'lo yishmo, af lohem v'lo yirichu, yidim v'lo yargo yaglechon. I remember someone always telling me, you see people, they sit by how they're shuckling. Einayim lohem, it's like in the briska, tush kavana. Einayim lohem v'lo yiru. What do you mean mechavin exactly? When you see someone with such intense kavana, einayim getshka, what kavana is there to be mechavin in that part of the hill? And when you say those psukim, I do not know. But there are people that have such tefillah. Come on, yeah.
Could be what we were saying before about us children. There's a miracle that we have 7 sons.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Could be in this relation to this maisa.
To this maisa. That's okay, you have to go. Yes, again. But what does it mean that we don't? No one aspires to what happened over here to this poor woman. Okay, the end of the Gemara concludes that indeed this woman, the case says, take him out and kill him. He was mavaz, me kill him. So the mother said, before you kill him, please let me kiss him. Please let me say goodbye to my child. So the child comes to the mother. The mother kissed the child. The mother says to the child, my child, I want you when you go after you die to go to, in Gan Eden, to go to Avraham Avinu and say, Avraham, you only sacrificed one child. You only were willing to sacrifice one child. And that even that you did not do. I'm better than you. I gave up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu 7 children. She kissed him, and then she's told the Kesar, kill me, don't let me see this, you kill me first. The Kesar then says, can't do that. It says in the Torah, it says, No, it says in the Torah you can't shecht the. So she says to the Kesa, since when you were Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kula, that now all of a sudden you machmit and Mekayim this halacha, you go can't kill the mother and the child. Like, what kind of shaita are you? Are you telling me a pasuk in the Torah? What kind of hypocrisy? The whole Torah is nothing to you, and now all of a sudden you're a tzaddikol. You want to go show dignity to the world. Look how ethical and honest, how observant I am. I didn't kill the mother and the child b'yomecha, yeshayta. It's half of a fellow, this Gemara. All the messages, the symbolism and the messages and the choice of words.
That he should go and tell him that he's better than Abraham, but you have lost 7 children.
But he didn't sacrifice 7 children. They died in a tragedy. They died in a tragedy. Here are the 7 children. They died al-Kiddush Hashem. They all were told to bow down to spare their life. And they refused to bow down. And they sent a pasuk in the Torah and they would kill al-Kiddush Hashem. It was an accident. It was a natural accident.
Wasn't the accident testing him?
It was a test, but he didn't sacrifice his children. It was a whole different type of event. It was an Nisayon, no question about it. But it wasn't like this. So then they finally. So she told this to her child, and she was mocking the Kesar. They killed the child, and it says there's a very sad ending. It says that the mother was nitrifadaita. She lost her mind. She lost her mind. She went up to the roof. The tsar of what took place got to her. She went to the roof and she jumped off the roof. Doesn't necessarily mean she jumped off the roof. Some mafarshim that it was an accident. She lost her mind in what happened, and she accidentally fell off the roof. And then a baskel came out of Shmaim, and it said, "Eim habonim senecha haleluka." Baskel in the Shmaim. So all of that is rooted in here what it says, "Umlila Yoledes Hashiva." Now this same story, now the problem with this same story that it says over here about the woman which took place explicitly in the Gemara at the time of the Churban Bayis Sheni in regard to the Kesar, almost an identical story is recorded during the time of the Chashmonoyim, during the time of the Hegmon, Chana v'Shiva Boneha, Chana v'Shiva Boneha. So in Ochinami, this event, Mamash Kaman, word for word, the same type of story. So the question is, what's going on? Is it the same story? Is it a different story? So in Ochinami, it appears there are 2 different stories. And they were indeed very similar. One was in the time of Chana, one was during the time of the Kesar. And the Gemachi of 7 what?
The Gemachi, there's 6 letters and 1 word.
7, okay, in Echnavi. Eim habonim smecha haleluka, and that is umlila yoledes hashiva. So we have over here many mahalchim, many allusions to what it means, umlila yoledes hashiva. Pashup shat, nothing significant about 7, that's Radak. Rashi and Mitzudos referring to the Malchus of Yisrael. Rashi second shot the Malchus of Yehuda, the 7 evil kings. The Medrash that we're going to say on Kinois of Yirmiah, that he meets the Yirmiah, and Yirmiah sees this Ani Imech Tzion. The Imech Tzion is complaining that her 7 children went into exile. It's not all clear why the Imech Tzion says about Klal Yisrael she has 7 children. And the last shot is this Gemara, the Maisa Shehoya B'Shas Tuchem Ayis Sheni, with regard to the Kesar. Okay. Now, let's go. What time is it? Oh, wow.